my favorite part so far about just the podcast in general is just the community you've helped foster, like all the folks on the Facebook group and the Patreon and whatever. They've been good friends to have through this pandemic, and I've learned so much from them and from you. And
it really just goes to show you how plants help to bring us together in some of the most amazing ways and really help us to all connect with each other.
Plant friends, here we are, episode 100 of
Mango Radio.
Plant friends, here we are. We made it, episode 100 of Bloom and Grow Radio. Many of you have shown up to this podcast 100 times. That's almost 100 hours of learning and growing that we have all done together. Whew, I'm so excited to be here. When I launched the show over 3 years ago, I really didn't know if I was ever going to get past episode 10 or if anyone was going to ever listen. And I'm just so humbled, proud, and incredibly honored to have been through this journey alongside you. If you've been listening for a while, you probably know by now that this podcast for me was such an insane surprise. You know, I'm a professional musical theater performer. I have a degree in opera. I had spent my life identifying as a plant killer. And now here I am sitting at my desk publishing this 100th episode for you, for this community who have shown up to learn and grow together and nerd out about plants and plant care. What? It's so awesome and unbelievable and unexpected and just a testament to sometimes you just got to trust growth and surprises and fun new leaves are going to show up. This show is a new leaf in my life. I never could have anticipated, you know? I'm so thankful for this community. You guys have shown up with your support through your listens, through your shares, through your contributions, your engagement, telling all your plant friends about the show. It's been amazing, really, to see the growth. So I see this episode as being obviously a celebration of getting to 100, but more a celebration of this community and everything we've learned together, because I really learn alongside you through all of this. So this episode has a couple of different sections. It's a different format than our normal episodes. So I just want to give you an outline so you know what's coming. So first up, I want to share some resources that I've created for you in celebration of these 100 episodes, and I'm going to fill you in on a big giveaway we've got at the end of the week. Second off, where I'm going to review my top 10 planty lessons learned in 100 episodes and 100 interviews, and in the midst of these 10 lessons, I'm going to be inserting the listener call-ins that we have. So we have a bunch of beautiful listeners from all over the world who called in and shared their favorite episode or their favorite lesson learned. They're going to be threaded in my lessons because, like I've said, I listen alongside you guys. I learn alongside of you guys. And I really wanted this episode to be kind of a community-sourced episode of what our biggest lessons and takeaways from having plants are. And then at the end of the episode, I'm going to share with you some fun and exciting information on where I'm going to be going from here, what the next 100 episodes of Bloom and Grow are going to look like, and how I plan to continue helping our community bloom and grow, and personally and professionally with this podcast blooming and growing. So first off, a few really fun resources that I've made for our community now that we've hit the 100 episode mark. So I created the Bloom and Grow Radio episode directory. So I'm realizing that 100 episodes can be a little overwhelming for any new listeners here, or even some OG listeners who maybe might have skipped a few episodes or learned something and wanted to go back and couldn't remember what episode number it is. So I went through our 100 episode bank of Bloom and Grow, and I categorized the episodes based on these planty categories. So this episode directory has all of the episodes under each of the following: individual plant care, nerdy science breakdowns, wellness, like any plants and wellness connection, the planty business series, seasonal, so that's like moving your plants indoors for the winter, or how to move with plants, like seasonal stuff, DIY projects, edible gardening, so outdoor gardening, because now we've done a bunch of episodes on that. Lifestyle, which is more like lifestyle and plants. People, because I've done a few planty person profiles throughout the show. And then food. So whether you're a newbie trying to figure out how you want to start digesting these 100 episodes, or whether you're an OG listener, I would suggest heading over to the Bloom and Grow Radio episode directory. The link is in the show notes. And you can see, you know, all of the planty, sciencey, nerdy breakdowns of stuff. We've done a lot of them now, and you might have missed one. And if that's the type of episode you like, you can go work your way through that chunk of episodes. Or if you're really into the individual plant care profiles like Fiddleleaf Fig 101 or Monstera 101, or African Violets 101, you can see all of the different plant profiles we've done with all of their plant care, because there's a ton. So I will continue updating this every like 20 episodes, and I hope it's just a resource to make learning and digesting this content easier for you. Secondly, and this is a big announcement, I created my second Bloom and Grow listener survey. So if any of you guys have been around for a while, I sent out a survey 2 years ago to this community to reach out and learn exactly how I can help you all bloom and grow. And hearing from you, we had over 1,000 people complete the survey. Hearing from you helped me pick episode topics, decide on the length episodes should be, and more. It was wildly helpful. It only took you guys 5 minutes to complete and really helped me shape Bloom and Grow. So I created a second one because in these last 2 years, this audience has grown tremendously, and I want to get to know all of you better. I really want to know what gets you ticking, like what your strengths are in Plant Parenthood, what your weaknesses are, what you want to hear from the show, how I can further help you. So last time we had around 1,000 people fill out the survey, and this time my goal is for 3,000 Bloom and Grow listeners to complete the survey. I really want to get to know as many of you as possible. I'm going to start creating a virtual garden club for our community, and I've got a bunch of questions about that. But really, I just want to know who you are, where you're from, what you're struggling with, what you're nailing, how you consume this podcast, and how I can just make it the best show possible for you, because that's my goal moving forward. And you'll hear more about that at the end of the episode. So the link for that is in the show notes. Please even maybe pause this episode, take 5 minutes, take that survey, and then come back. Thank you so much. And lastly, there is an epic celebration of 100 episodes happening on the Bloom and Grow Radio Instagram account. So every day this week, I am going live with one of our favorite Bloom and Grow Radio guests on Instagram. So yesterday was Leslie Halleck, and you can go rewatch it on my IGTV. Today, I'm talking to Chris Satch. So we've got two of our nerdiest botanist scientists that I've interviewed. Wednesday, I'm going to have Cola from Black in the Garden podcast. Thursday, Summer Rain Oaks is joining me. And then Friday, Alessia from Apartment Botanist, my OG plant friend, is joining me. So 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be going live for about 30 minutes. Each person has like a little theme that we're going to talk about, but we're going to catch up, and then I will try and pepper in some listener questions for whoever's live. So make sure you tune in, 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. And then on Friday, we are having an epic giveaway. I haven't done a giveaway for you guys in a really long time. I reached out to all of the Bloom and Grow Radio sponsors, all of them that we've ever had, and many of them have committed to giving product. So this giveaway is going to be basically featuring all of the Bloom and Grow Radio sponsors and the amazing things they have to offer. Believe me, plant friends, you don't want to miss it. I haven't calculated it, but it's so much money worth of product. And also, Bloom and Grow Radio is going to be donating $100 to the social justice organization of the winner's choice in collaboration with me. So we will pick together a social or environmental justice organization to donate $100 to. How cool is that? So make sure you're following me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram and celebrating with me all week. Okay, so let's dive into the top 10 planty lessons learned. So at the beginning of the episode, you heard clips from two of our rock star ride or die listeners, Bethany and Michael, who have been along from the ride from the beginning, and you'll hear more from them later throughout the episode. But something that I think they both highlighted so beautifully was that such an obvious thread to me through all of these listener submissions, and also just talking to you guys for the last 3 years and in my life, is that plants are truly connectors. And this leads me to my number one of my top 10 things learned from these 100 episodes. Plants are an instrument for connection. Whether it's ourselves, whether it's with each other, whether it's with people on the internet, people in real life, whether it's with our children, or whether it's feeling a greater connection to a greater source in Mother Nature, plants and our relationships with plants allows us to step out of our own minds for a moment, to be still, to observe, to marvel, to laugh, maybe even experience disappointment in a plant fail and work through that. Plants are just so much more than interior design pieces. These 100 episodes, this community of listeners, my travels that have allowed me to meet so many of you in real life all over the country, the biggest thing that this has taught me is that plants are an instrument for connection, and they are just so much more than something pretty to look at. So that's my biggest number one takeaway. I'm going to bring you my 9, I guess, more practical to the point lessons. This one is a little high level, you know, mushy like I like to be. I'm going to bring you 9 more of those lessons in a little bit after this beautiful montage celebrating our community and what they've learned and how they connect and engage with plants.
Hi, Maria. My name is Katie Vale. I work at the San Antonio Zoo in the horticulture department. Your episode 30, Orchid 101 with Chris from The Spill, was so informative, especially the segment where Chris stressed the resilience of orchids. Being reminded that these plants aren't made of glass gave me the push I needed to create a new orchid display at the zoo. There are now 3 types of orchids on display, Cattleya, Phalaenopsis, and Onceum, with the majority being mounted directly to the walls. I want to thank you, Maria, for being an inspiration to the planty community, and I can't wait for your next 100 episodes.
Hey, Maria, this is Jen, aka Crop Mama. My favorite episode has to be the Mother's Day special you did in 2018. My plant journey began when I gave birth to our second child, only 15 months after having our first. And it really was just a really hard time for me. I needed to do a lot of self-exploration and learn to love myself again and, you know, take care of 2 tiny humans. So being able to listen to that Mother's Day episode and just hear all of the positive and beautiful memories and moments that so many people have had with their mothers and grandmothers while also, you know, loving plants and loving each other has just been really special for me to go back and listen to. And I'm getting emotional over here, but it just was a really sweet thing for me to hear in a really hard time, and I've gone back and listened to it because raising tiny humans is hard. Raising plants is even harder sometimes, but raising them together is really fun, and it's nice to be able to teach them and see them explore and have so much interest in something I really enjoy, even as an adult.
Hey, Maria, this is Michael Beck. My favorite episode is probably kind of a weird one. It was the episode about plant laws. That was such a fun thing to learn about, and you never would have thought about it if I hadn't learned about it from you. My favorite part so far about just the podcast in general is just the community you've helped foster, like all the folks on the Facebook group and the Patreon and whatever. They've been good friends to have through this pandemic, and I've learned so much from them and from you and all this, so thanks so much for doing what you're doing. I can say that I really appreciate it, and I know a lot of other people do too.
Hi, Maria. My name is Laura. My favorite episode of Bloom and Grow Radio is the episode where you talked about natural light and determining how much light was in your apartment or in your house. I discovered during that episode that my windows act a little bit backwards from most everyone else's windows because I have a lot of shade covering my southern facing window, and I have a very bright building covering my northern facing window. I just have really enjoyed learning from you and all your guests in this very strange quarantine and COVID time.
Hi, Maria. This is Cece Carson. So congratulations, Maria, on 100 episodes. I'm so excited for you, and I'm excited to be a part of this wonderful community that you have created. My favorite episode so far has been the one you did on the wild world of PlantTube, YouTube. I have dreamed of having my own YouTube show, and I was pretty nervous to do it. And one of the PlantTubers said, if this is your dream, if you want to do this, then don't wait until you're ready. Just do it and learn along the way. So I did it. This week I launched One Green Pea on YouTube, and I give you so much credit for your inspiration. So thank you so much, and congratulations again. Love you. Bye.
Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today.
Happy 100th episode, Bloom and Grow Radio. This is Bethany here. Most of you might know me on Instagram, as Bethany just said. I'm a longtime listener of the show since the very beginning, and it's been really fun to listen along to a podcast where all of us plant lovers can learn and grow together. And some episodes that stand out for me and that have taught me the most are the ones that focus on the mindfulness and psychology of being a plant parent. I was fascinated by episode 17 with Christine from Work Hard, Plant Hard, which discussed the studies behind why plants make people feel healthy and happy. So we have proof that plants enrich our lives in so many ways, improving our indoor environment and helping to heal our stress that we're feeling. And along with that, another related episode that really caught my attention was episode 43, Your Brain on Plants, where Dr. Caitlin Vanderweel gave a neuroscientific explanation on how emotions and brain chemistry influence our decision making, and it helps to explain the passion that we're feeling for our plants and how there's an actual science behind it, which I found to be really interesting. And of course, I would be remiss for not mentioning another defining moment in the show for me. I believe it was in episode 33, Monstera 101, where Maria had mentioned how Raphidophora tetrasperma was one of her top wishlist plants at the time. So I sent a DM through Instagram and offered to send her some cuttings from my plant, and that ended up with Raffy being born. And I love seeing all of the updates on how much he's been growing and thriving in her care. And what's so amazing about that is that it helped to start this beautiful friendship between Maria and I in real life. And I had the chance to finally meet up with her in person while I was on a trip to Pennsylvania. And that was just such a special day for me. It really just goes to show you how plants help to bring us together in some of the most amazing ways and really help us to all connect with each other. So thank you, Bloom and Grow Radio. You're such a big part of this community, and I love you so much. This is Bethany from Bethany Just Said on Instagram. Over and out.
Oh, those are such beautiful sentiments. I'm so thankful to Bethany, Cece, Laura, Michael, Jen, and Katie for calling in. One of my favorite things in listening to all these call-ins were these two listeners that you're about to hear, Daniel and Steven, called in from different parts of the country. I don't even think they know each other, but they had the same favorite episode, the two-part series on aroids with Ingrid from NSC Tropicals. And it was so interesting to hear both of their experiences engaging with this episode and then how it affected their engagement with their plant collection.
Hi, my name is Daniel. My two favorite episodes of Bloom and Grow Radio are the two parts of Aeroids 101. These episodes are my favorite because it's where my appreciation for a wide variety of houseplants really started to take off. Growing up, my house always had at least a few plants. My dad had a decent-sized collection of different plants he was given by friends or he grew from fruit seeds, but most of my experience growing plants early on was vegetable gardening. I had never invested much time into houseplants because I didn't think there was anything too special about them. But listening to the two episodes really inspired me to take a close look at all the aeroids that are available. And since then, I've expanded my houseplant collection quite a bit. Following aeroids and different houseplant accounts on social media has opened me up to a lot of different people, and I've really enjoyed seeing the number of people who love plants as much as I do, and I've been able to get to know other people in the plant community, especially through this podcast.
This is Steven. First off, congratulations on 100 episodes. That's awesome. I've been listening to you since the beginning, and you've really been an inspiration. My favorite episode, and what I've learned the most, is the Aeroid two-part series, episode 44 and 45, back in 2018. When I started out, it was your basic plants, spider plants, snake plants. That's what I knew. That was the extent of my knowledge, but I had seen these photos on Instagram of these beautiful leafy plants. I had never heard of them. I didn't even really realize they could be indoor plants or, you know, house plants. So those two episodes gave me the confidence to start experimenting with, you know, alocasia, philodendron. And as of this morning, year three of my plant journey, I just purchased my first Monstera. So it's incredibly, incredibly significant, very exciting time for me, and I credit a lot of my confidence to Bloom and Grow Radio.
Congrats, Steven, on your first Monstera purchase. He actually sent me a picture of it, and it looks amazing. There is really no better feeling than getting your first Monstera and having your first new fenestrated leaf unfurl. I will say that was just an amazing experience with my first Monstera. So, Steven, you are in for a fun few months. So enjoy yourself with that Monstera. Next up, we have listener Abby share a lesson that she learned that really resonated with me, and it leads us to my lesson number two of the 10 things I've learned in 100 episodes. So here's Abby.
Hi, Maria. This is Abby. I think my favorite episode of Bloom and Grow Radio would have to be episode 31, which was the babies and houseplants with Molly Mansfield. While I don't have any kids of my own, I am an infant teacher at a daycare, so that episode really combined my two great passions, kids and houseplants. I think the biggest lesson I've learned from listening to Bloom and Grow would be just to enjoy the plants that you have and not get too wrapped up in the crazy collector side of it. While I myself definitely enjoy the collecting aspect of houseplants, it has also been really helpful to hear you, Maria, talk about just enjoying the plants that you have and all of the stories behind them and knowing that, you know, we don't have to have all of these fancy plants to still have a very valuable collection.
Abby, I'm so happy that this meant something to you because it's really something that it's a struggle I really went through in the first year of plant parenthood. And I know that so many of us go through it because in that first survey that I sent you guys, a lot of people were having that feeling of overwhelm and going through it. And I know from speaking to people, a lot of people in our community at one point in their life feel like that. They get wrapped up in the collection side or the pressure to have so many and then work through it. So that leads me to lesson learned number two, which is plants make people happy, but they can also make people overwhelmed and anxious. You know, two of my favorite episodes, it was really interesting to talk to Christine, my plant friend, Work Hard, Plant Hard on Instagram. On episode 17, Christine was a doctor, and her episode title is The Studies Behind Why Plants Make People Happy. And then I also spoke to neuroscientist Dr. Caitlin Vanderweel on episode 43, Your Brain on Plants. You know, in that first episode, Christine and I worked through all of the studies that prove that plants actually do increase concentration and reduce stress. And I'm really excited to do a whole episode on the concept of biophilia, which I'm learning a lot about. But what was really even more interesting is this dark side that I experienced in these first few months of caring for plants. When I started collecting plants, I started feeling these emotional benefits from having plants, and then I kind of got obsessed with it. Like, plants were the only thing I was thinking about. I was obsessed with going to the store and buying more. I couldn't really curb my spending. It was really hard for me to stop buying plants, and it became this obsession and started teetering on this verge of unhealthy. And then on top of that, I was on Instagram looking at all of these perfectly curated plant photos, and then I was feeling guilty because my apartment didn't look that way and my plants maybe had a brown leaf and I didn't see any brown leaves on Instagram. And that sent me into a spiral as well. And this conversation with Dr. Caitlin Vanderweel was so eye-opening because since she's a neuroscientist and plant lady, she broke down exactly what happens in our brain when we start caring for our plants and feeling addicted. And when we start caring for plants in our brain, we get this dopamine effect where it's like taking a drug, or it's like getting, you know, that really good workout. Like, there's an endorphin component to it. There's also a bonding component to it because we're caring for these plants. So in our brain, it also feels like those chemicals that are associated with bonding also show up. So I can't talk about this as fancy as Caitlin did. So I think you should go back and listen to the episode because it's so freaking interesting. I think it's one of my favorite episodes in the 100 episode catalog. Participating in that episode and then re-listening to it really helped me realize that my habit was getting out of control. And it also helped me take the guilt off of myself and understand that there were actually chemical things happening in my brain. And I was able to put myself on a plant pause, which really helped me just kind of level out, help me take a step back, evaluate the plants that I had, start setting up the plants that I had in better circumstances. You know, I put some wall units in. I got a few grow lights. I was able to like set up my plants for success better instead of just continuing to bring plants home and having no space for them. And it really just helped me get into a healthier place. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I can't recommend it enough. And also, don't be afraid to take a plant pause. It's really tricky. It's really difficult. Billy and I talk about it in our episode together when he asked me to go on a plant pause. But a plant pause where you don't buy any more plants and you just cut yourself off and focus on maintaining the plants that you already have can be a really great reset button when you feel like you get a little too crazy in the crazy plant person side, if you know what I mean. Moving on to lesson number three, understanding light is the key to not killing plants. This one's pretty simple, but it's definitely something that I didn't understand when I was starting off as a plant killer. Understanding our light, so many people don't understand their actual lighting setups in their apartment, and they are setting themselves up for failure from the beginning, from the get-go, really. And through all of these conversations about light that we've had in the episodes on the show, whether it's been episodes 12 and 74 on grow lights, or whether it's, you know, episode 45 and 46, which is the Understanding Natural Light series with Leslie Halleck, there are some things that we can do as plant parents to assess our natural light and understand how to set our plants up for success. So that's understanding your windows. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, your southern windows are going to be your brightest. Your northern windows are going to be your least brightest. And it goes southern is the brightest, then western, because the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So by the time it's setting in the west, that sun is a little stronger and brighter. Third is going to be east, and fourth or least is going to be north. So just figuring out what direction your windows face is a huge help. Then also you have to understand, is there a building in front of my southern facing window? Then it might be more like a northern facing window, which we heard from Laura in the listener compilation already. assessing like what light is coming in, and then also understanding, okay, you have southern facing windows, but if you get a foot away from that southern facing window, you don't have bright direct light anymore. You're in the bright indirect light area already. So if you're interested in learning more about this, Leslie Halleck and I have a two-part episode on it. It's episodes 45 and 46. We go through like everything you need to know about how to understand natural light. And our friends in the Southern Hemisphere can just like reverse everything. But I also have an Understanding Natural Light worksheet in the resources section of the Bloom and Grow Radio website, which actually helps you, through the use of an app, measure your light over a few days and understand what you're working with. But I think understanding your light is kind of the key, because I myself, when I was a plant killer, put succulents in the darkest area of my room and then was so confused to why they'd die, you know? Or you can take a sensitive fern and put it in your southern facing windowsill and water it perfectly, but those leaves are still going to get brown because it's getting burned. So understanding light is the name of the game, plant friends. So go listen to those episodes. Okay, lesson number four. Using grow lights is an amazing planty home hack. So on the heels of lesson number three about understanding your natural light, a big thing for me empowering myself to care for plants successfully was identifying, yes, I had amazing southern facing windows, but I only had windows on one side of my home. So 90% of my home was actually low light, if not medium light. 10% of my home were those gorgeous southern facing windows where I crammed as many plants as possible, but I couldn't keep plants in my kitchen or my bathroom or the majority of my bedroom because I had low light. So by incorporating grow lights into my space, I was able to continue growing my plant collection the way I wanted to, but also giving them the light that they needed, understanding the limited amount of light that my apartment had. So I started with one Soltec solution light. And now I have 5 grow lights in my home. So I have 3 Soltec solution lights. And then I have, actually, I guess I have, do I have 6 grow lights? Wait, I have 3 Soltec solution lights. I have 2 Modern Sprout grow bars. So that's 5. And then I have 2 grow houses. Oh, I guess I have 7 grow lights. Whoops. But by incorporating these grow lights and doing really fun DIY projects like installing grow bars in my bookshelf, and now I have this unbelievable planty bookshelf, and, you know, setting up grow lights in my kitchen for my herbs, I've been able to have plants in every corner of my space. There's a lot to understand about grow lights. It's, for me, it has been a 3-year process of like slowly incorporating one grow light after the other after I get plants situated in the newest grow light in my home. So if you want to learn more, you can check out episode 12, Everything You Need to Know About Indoor Grow Lights with Chris Satch or Botanic Tonic. And then you can check out episode 74 on Grow Lights 101 with Leslie Halleck. Both of those episodes go over how photosynthesis works, the fact that, you know, a broad spectrum white grow light is going to perform much better for your plants than those purple, blue, pink, orange ones that people buy on the internet. And then in episode 74, Leslie Halleck gives a ton of suggestions on grow lights that she likes. But to sum up, grow lights are a great way to continue growing your plant collection when you might not have the lighting setup that you think you need. Okay, lesson number 5, understanding how to water your plants, aka understanding drainage and capillary action, is the other key to not killing your plants. So this was such a mind-blowing lesson for me that I definitely have learned slowly over 3 years. You know, at the beginning of my plant journey, I was definitely someone who would put rocks at the bottom of my pots with no drainage holes and like say a prayer for my plants and think that was okay, or use like horticultural charcoal. And a lot of people still do that, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you know how to water your plants. But I think that it's not the most effective way. And so episode 95, Understanding Drainage and the Perched Water Table and Taking Soil Science 101 with the New York Botanical Garden, really blew my knowledge up to the next level of like really understanding how to water your plants. And stay tuned. I have an episode on watering with Chris Satch coming in the next couple of months, which is amazing. So for me, when I started making that shift to committing to only potting my plants in pots with holes at the bottom. I just noticed a difference. I don't even know if my plants changed, but I noticed a difference in my confidence in my ability to water and not overwater my plants, because I've definitely overwatered plants a lot, especially in the beginning. So my commitment to myself now is that I only use pots with holes at the bottom. And if I buy a fancy cash pot that doesn't have a hole at the bottom, I pot the plant up in a nursery pot that's a smaller size, and I slip it into that cash pot, and I'll put pebbles at the bottom of that cash pot so the nursery pot sits on top of it. But that's my commitment to myself, because that's just for me what works the best. And I use terracotta when I can. I think one of my proudest moments as an interviewee, or I guess a student, was in episode 95 with my teacher talking about capillary action and bottom watering, which is another favorite way of mine to water my plants. And I wanted to play this soundbite of like the funniest science sports parallel that I drew on how capillary action actually works with bottom watering.
This is the image that just came to mind. I wonder if it makes sense. You know, when you see like those competitions where like a bunch of people have to do an obstacle course and like one person jumps up the wall and then like pulls the other person up the wall.
Yep.
And
exactly.
Then this whole train. So basically adhesion is the first person jumping up the wall, and then cohesion is grabbing the second person and pulling that water molecule up the wall. And then that will attach to another one and they'll keep pulling each other.
Yep.
Is that the most brilliant thing I've ever said in my whole life?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's actually very good. Yeah.
Yeah, that was such an aha moment for me with Anya, my teacher. But yeah, bottom watering is also a really great way to water your plants. That's taking your pot with holes at the bottom and putting it in a larger bowl of water. And then you let that soil and the adhesion, cohesion, capillary action wick the water up. It's really hard to overwater your plant that way. So when I can, I really like to get like a big tub of water and put as many of my pots in it as possible and just leave it there for an hour and let the pots wick up the water and then redistribute. You know, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't do that, but that's one of my favorite ways. Another fun surprise in figuring out drainage and capillary action is that a listener over in Russia, Svetlana, went through a very similar experience than I did. So here is her lesson learned from episode 95. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
Hi, my name is Islana and I live in Russia, and I wanted to say big, big thank yous to Maria and her Bloom and Grow Radio. My favorite episode would be about drainage, because quite recently my boyfriend has gifted me a giant, like it was my wish list plan for a very long time, a giant Calathea warshawiecki. And as you know, Calatheas are very fussy, but I didn't know that you're not supposed to put drainage. Like, in Russia we have this tale of that. All plants have to have leka or any type of rocks at the bottom. It helps the drainage and everything will be perfect. But in this case, I reported this Calathea and nothing seemed to work. I seemed to overwater it. It didn't seem to like anything, because basically the problem was that I put leka at the bottom, like you always do here, and it didn't fit. So I ended up buying a bigger pot, way too bigger pot for this Calathea. And over the course of 1 or 2 months, I understood that I started to overwater it because the pot is too big, there was too much extra soil, but I couldn't move it back to the original pot because this was the leka at the bottom and it was just too tall. So after listening to this podcast about drainage and this method that you're not supposed to put any rocks at the bottom, it actually does the opposite. So I removed everything. I was so happy. I was just done it pretty much right away. I removed everything and my Calathea seems to thrive. I also put a lot of more perlite than it was in the soil, and this podcast was extremely helpful not to kill me my wishlist plant. It's very actually difficult to get a Calathea warshawiecki in here. So love this geeky episodes, as you call them. Keep them coming. I adore them. Thanks very much for your work.
I love that Svetlana is in Russia. I'm in New York, but we're learning the same lessons together. That is so cool. And I know many people in our community also are learning these lessons alongside us. Two other episodes on soil and soil aeration that you might want to check out. Episode 75, The Science of Soil with Dr. Mark from Metrolina Greenhouse. And then episode 52, Soil Aeration and Thriving versus Surviving in Low Light with Daryl from Houseplant Journal. Those are two other great episodes if you're interested in checking them out. Okay, moving on. Lesson number 6. Plants are a window to wellness. This actually maybe should have been lesson number 1 for me, because what I've realized is plants have changed my life. They have been such an instrument, I guess, in my wellness routine. They've really changed my ability to be still, and I've learned so many life lessons through them. So you guys might know my Plant Side Chat series, and that's where I draw parallels between my plants and my life and life lessons learned in the garden. The most recent one was episode 98, Pruning Back to Inspiration. inspire growth. But then I also have episodes 46, You're Doing Great, 40, Pruning, episode 28, The Tale of the Tomato Plant, 21, Changing of the Seasons, 13, Planty Friendships, 10, Bloom and Grow at Your Own Rate, 78, What to Do When Your Orchid Doesn't Bloom. These are kind of my really short episodes where I kind of wax poetic on the plant life parallels that I see and things that I learn. And if you listened to episode 98, Pruning Back to Inspire Growth, you know, I really have been walking the walk in terms of really digging in and thinking of these plant parallels in an extremely transitional time in my life. The concept of pruning is something I've like meditated on almost every day in the last 5 months. So you can go back and listen to that episode to hear more. We also have some other great episodes, interviews with Bethany from Pause with Plants, episode 86, a really moving episode 37 on horticultural therapy, and then also Billy's episode 51, Tips for Living with a Crazy Plant Person, for any of our partners in this community who might be struggling with our plant obsessions. Billy gave a lot of great tips for them, and that episode was created for our partners, not for us, which was really fun. But plants have just been so instrumental to so many of us. I mean, I have listeners write in sharing how plants have helped them, you know, deal with PTSD or postpartum and loss. It's been a way for them to connect with their children. I mean, there's so many beautiful emotional benefits that we all experience, and it's so real. So plants are a window to wellness, and I'm working on something very big that I hopefully will be letting you guys know about in the near future in regards to this and how I feel about it, but more on that later. Okay, lesson 7. With plants, there's always something new to try, no matter how advanced of a plant parent you are. Now, I would say go to the episode directory for this for you guys, just because depending on who you are, there's always something new to try. That might be something DIY for you. That might be something nerdy for you, depending on what type of plant parent you are. For me, I felt like I had a pretty good handle on potting my plants in soil and watering them. And then once I got a handle on that, my friend Kay from Inrooted Love approached me about semi-hydro. And so we did an episode on semi-hydro or passive hydroponics. And now I am slowly converting a lot of my plant collection into semi-hydro because of the amazing success that I've had with it and also with propagating. I mean, I almost exclusively now propagate plants in semi-hydro. It's been so fun. It's been such a fun thing to continue learning. And I think as plant parents, there's always something new we can try, whether it's that you've never tried growing hydroponically or growing in passive hydroponic. We have episodes on both of that. Whether it's trying propagation for your first time, you know, if you have plants and you don't have the budget to buy anymore, just make more plants for free by propagating your plants. So you can refer to episode 64 for that, Propagation 101 with Leslie Halleck. There are so many different DIY projects you can do. I turned a bookshelf into a grow house. You can make your own terrarium. I mean, the list goes on and on with what we can experiment with. So I think even, you know, Leslie Halleck, who has degrees in horticulture, Chris Satch, you know, I really admire the fact that they're also always experimenting with something new. And I think this, we can be lifelong learners with this hobby, and that's really special. So that leads me to lesson number 8. Moss poles are a great addition to your plant fam. You know, I was not a DIY person before I started this podcast and before I got into plants. And now I love doing DIY projects. And I think my favorite DIY project was making a moss pole for my plants. So a brief overview. A lot of the plants that we have actually climb up trees. They're epiphytic in real life, meaning, you know, a monstera is a perfect example. Monsteras grow at the bottom of the jungle, and then they climb up trees in search of light in order to find their light. They develop these aerial roots that kind of wrap around the tree, and they climb up the tree up to the top of the canopy to get more light. We don't grow houseplants on trees in our homes. So a way that you can replicate that natural environment that they grow outdoors, you can make your own moss pole and stick it in your pot and then train your plant to grow up that moss pole. And it's so fun. Number one, making moss poles is so simple and so easy. And if you check out episode 42, how to make a moss pole, or you can check out my YouTube video on it, I show you exactly how I make it and all the materials you would need. You can order them all online. They're super easy to make, but also training your plant to climb up a moss pole and seeing your plant start to grow aerial roots when it didn't before the moss pole is so interesting. And the deeper lesson there is these plants, we are not putting plants in the natural environment that they live in. You know, our air-conditioned and heated homes are not the tropical jungle. So whatever we can do as plant parents to replicate that for them, why wouldn't we do that? Of course we should. So moss poles are a perfect way to do that. If you're interested in doing other DIY projects that don't involve buying plants, but just kind of upgrading what you already have, like moss poles, I also suggest people do moss poles when they're on a plant pause. If you're on a plant pause, but you still want to engage with your plants and continue, you know, nurturing the plant parent in you, make moss poles for the plants that you already had. You know, I had 3 monsteras, so I made moss poles for 3 monsteras instead of buying a 4th. Other projects you could do is make your own terrarium, which was episode 19. You could mount epiphytes like orchids or staghorn ferns, which was episode 16. Or one of my other favorite projects was making DIY succulent crowns, which was episode 60. I love a succulent crown for a special occasion. I've made flower crowns and succulent crowns for birthdays. My engagement party, I wore one. They're a really fun project that you could do with your friends. So check those episodes out. Moving right along, lesson number 9, anyone can grow their own food. So especially on the heels of Corona, I think so many people were moved to start trying to grow their own food for the first time. Plant friends, growing your own food is the most rewarding, fun experience, and it can really be done in any capacity, whether it's having a small, you know, aero garden or a small hydroponic setup in your kitchen in 1 or 2 pots, or whether it's having an epic garden like Phyla Farm. There is a way for every person to be able to grow something edible and have that feeling of harvesting and enjoying something that you've grown. It is truly the best feeling, and I hope everyone experiences it in their process of being a plant parent. We now have so many episodes on this. So if you only have a sunny windowsill, we have an episode on windowsill herb gardening, episode 22. If you want to be the tomato whisperer, you can listen to Talking Tomatoes, episode 20. If you want to start your vegetable garden outside, you know, these last couple of months, we've put out a bunch of gardening episodes because we know our community has been really motivated to do that. So you could check out Fundamentals of Vegetable Gardening, episode 89. You could check out episode 91, 10 Tips for Edible Landscape with my mom. We've got an episode on common garden pests. The fall is coming, so you could check back to episode 72, Fall Garden Plants and Projects. There's so many things to do. You know, you could grow your own garlic, grow your own collard greens, or just grow a pot of basil on your windowsill and enjoy the scent and harvest. It's that simple. So all you have to do is figure out something you want to grow and then how you can grow it, whether it's small scale on your windowsill or large scale in your garden. As we know, you know, I have a 9-square-foot balcony garden in which I grew a lot of stuff over the last 3 years, and it was an incredibly special and enriching experience. And here we are, lesson number 10. Plants are a great way to help and engage with children and those in need. 3 episodes that were really special to me and special to our listeners: 31, Plants and Babies; episode 27, Plants in the Classroom with Mr. D times 3. If you're a teacher, you must listen to this. And then episode 37 on horticultural therapy. And I'm actually taking Intro to Horticultural Therapy right now at the New York Botanical Garden. Plants are a window to wellness for us, just on our daily wellness practice and just our ability to bring ourselves more joy. But also, they are an amazing way to help people going through something really hard, or children. Like, our children are growing up in this world where nature is not, you know, our environment and nature is not necessarily at the forefront of their learning. And getting kids in the garden on the weekends or growing plants in your classroom, it makes such a difference to kids, and it's so important. And I have just heard from so many listeners about how they're engaging with their children this season out in the garden, how they're getting their kids outdoors, or how horticultural therapy programs make huge difference in veterans' lives, how people use plants to recover from postpartum or PTSD or all these, you know, depression, all of these things. Plants just, man, they're so special. And we're so lucky that this is our hobby and that we can use them to bring ourselves joy and healing in whatever capacity we need. So those are my 10 lessons, plant friends. Check out the episode directory if any of these things interested you, and go click and listen and learn some more. I know a lot of us too. I know me. I have been re-listening to a lot of the episodes because it's so much information. So it's really fun to go back and re-listen as well. So next up is I just wanted to share with you some intentions for me and Bloom and Grow and where we're going next. So my biggest goal is to continue to connect with our community on a deeper level. I think in 2019, when I was traveling with cats and I just was doing so much in trying to get the episodes out and doing my normal, you know, job performing and traveling the country with cats, my focus shifted primarily to just getting content out, and I wasn't able to connect with our community as deeply as I was in 2018. And I really want to get back to that. I mean, I was able to connect with our community in 2019 in different ways because I was able to meet you guys in real life across the country and obviously still connect and serve you through the podcast. But I want to really get to know you better. That's really important to me. I really view myself as one of you, and that I feel like I'm the listener advocate. I'm the plant parent advocate, you know, in this community with this podcast. And I want to ask all the questions you want to ask, and I want to make the episodes for the things that you want. Number one, you know, creating the second listener survey was really important for me. It's so important to me that you guys take it. So please, once again, click the link in the show notes and take the survey. It'll take less than 5 minutes for you to complete. And it gives you a lot of like multiple choice questions, but also some free writing that you can kind of write me and share what you need and how you're doing and where you're from and, you know, what your plant wins are. You know, I want to hear from you. Another goal of mine is to spend more time in our Bloom and Grow Facebook group, because you're all there and you're all talking. And I created the group really as a way for you guys to coach each other. And that's been so fun to watch. It's so fun to see you guys post a plant problem that you have and then five people respond and kind of troubleshoot with each other. But I am committed to spending more time in that Facebook group and moderating it and cultivating it. And then my other goal is to design more ways to get our community involved through probably new Patreon tiers of community involvement. So I'm working with a couple of listeners right now on building out the Bloom and Grow Virtual Garden Club. It's going to be really fun. And I think my biggest thing is figuring out a more interactive way for me to interview. So, you know, some live interviews where you guys can show up and actually be a part of the interview, submit questions, and maybe even ask questions at the end of it. So take the survey, because I ask a lot of questions about how you'd want that to look in it. Another goal for Bloom and Grow is that I want to learn more about horticultural therapy and food insecurity and figure out how Bloom and Grow can contribute meaningfully on a larger level. So if you have resources on horticultural therapy or food insecurity, environmental injustice, you know, we're very interested in exploring those areas and figuring out how Bloom and Grow can kind of set up a more meaningful and fleshed out contribution and help format. You know, right now we've donated at least over 1% of our annual revenue to social justice organizations, which we're really proud about. But I'm interested in kind of zooming out and taking a larger, more committed, more kind of structured approach. So that's something that I'm kind of doing behind the scenes. And I'd love your input if you have recommendations. And then my other goal is to just keep growing the brand and business of Bloom and Grow. It's been really fun, painful at moments, but really exciting most of the time to turn this passion project into a business. And I just see so many things, and I really feel called to do this full time on a large scale. You know, I see a book for Bloom and Grow. I see a TV show for Bloom and Grow. I want to help people successfully care for plants on a large scale now. This podcast is a large scale in itself, but I'm really excited to kind of see where this can all bloom and evolve into. Because what's clear to me is that my role in this plant space is to be the community advocate and to learn alongside you, to ask the questions you want answered, to foster relationships virtually or in real life with you and me, and help all of you connect with each other so that we can all grow. Because I believe that caring for plants helps develop empathy and kindness, and learning those skills will help us make the world a kinder and greener place. That is my quiet mission statement for Bloom and Grow in these last 3 years. I want to help make the world a kinder and greener place by helping more people successfully care for plants. I really think that's part of the puzzle, and it's my calling to help as many people do so as possible. And I'm thankful for these last 100 episodes to help, and I can't wait to see what the next year brings.
So that's a wrap on episode 100. Special thanks to our listeners who called in: Katie, Jin, Michael, Laura, Cece, Bethany, Daniel, Stephen, Abby, and Svetlana. Thank you to our Patreon plant friends who have been supporting the show. It's so nice to have you guys. I've already completed a Patreon plant friend survey. They've given me a lot of feedback. Now I'm excited to open it up to our community at large. So thank you to the Patreon supporters. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And thank you to this entire community. Thank you, plant friends, for growing alongside me on this beautiful ride. Life looks nothing what I thought it would when I started this podcast 3 years ago, and I am so thankful for that. I absolutely adore you, plant friends. I wish you the most beautiful, plantiest lives, full of growth and happiness, and that you, of course, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in more fun and educational planty content, well, plant friend, I've got a whole lot for you. Subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, which is my YouTube channel where I bring you along for my personal plant journey, as well as share informational content that pairs with our podcast episodes. Follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram for behind-the-scenes sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, my daily planty lessons and thoughts, and most importantly, tune into my Instagram stories where I am constantly talking with you listeners and plant friends and polling you for content ideas, and I'm always interested in seeing what you're loving these days on Instagram. Join the Bloom and Grow mailing list and get a free download of the Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print that she created exclusively for our community. And if you can, support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon. For as little as $4 a month, you not only help me bring these planty and informative episodes to thousands of ears around the world, but you will also get the super secret planty password to our exclusive Bloom and Grow Radio Garden Club Facebook group, which is a wonderfully active group of plant friends of the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast who make up what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is a lot of fun over there. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I am here for you. If you have ideas for episode topics, guests, or if you're possibly a business interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me because I am here to help all of you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hi,
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.